This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Monday, good morning and welcome, the 21st of September, and it has been a couple of weeks since I've had a chance to chat with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. We welcome her to the program. Good morning, happy Monday to you.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I feel completely out of it. I've sort of checked email, certainly since I got back, but we last talked heading into the Friday of September 4th, which is crazy to think about the time that has passed. But I look at our deaths at that time, we're at 29. We're now at 41. I look at the confirmed cases, we're about 1,075. We're now at 1,382. Tell me about the 2 weeks that I've been gone.
Well, Brian, in some parts, we're going to have to learn to live with the fact we're going to have COVID in our community. There are going to be people who die from it because of other health conditions or they're elderly and at risk. But the most concerning thing is our positivity rate is starting to go up. That's, you know, how many per 100,000 people. And we're closing in on 7%. I don't want Macon County to end up on the warning list. So far, we've stayed off where most of downstate central Illinois has been on the warning list, at least at some point or another. But the last thing we can afford to do is have any of our businesses have to cut back in any way. So we've really got to be rigorous in wearing masks. And, you know, I think it sounds silly. You're only gone a couple of weeks, but it feels like people have accepted masks, and it's not the anger that it was. I guess maybe that's still out there. But, I mean, I think there's a better acceptance.
Well, I read an interesting piece over the weekend as we approach 200,000 deaths here in the United States of America. And as the number of deaths climb, people that you know, you're more likely to have been impacted directly by someone in your family passing away or a loved one or a friend. And that does sort of break down that wall of, like, I'm just going to deny. I got to tell you, we went to several cities like, Moab in Utah, where it's just, I mean, everybody wears their mask everywhere. I don't know that it was 100% compliance, but it certainly looked like that.
Well, and I've been out more, I think, in the last week or two, since you've been gone, where I really have not been out very much. And it really seems like where I go, the majority, wide majority of people are complying with the mask order. So, you know, hopefully that gets us somewhere. I'm very concerned because we're just now starting to approach fall. And, you know, that means locking everybody inside for the winter. And, you know, people tend to get sicker.
Yeah. Now, Angela Harper sent out from the city manager, the City of Decatur Weekly update on Friday, that said our positivity rate was 7.2. Do you know what the actual number is?
I thought it was 6.9, and there's been some discrepancy in the numbers that we've been trying to work through between what IDPH has, what CMS has, and I've been a little confused about it, but the one thing, you know, where we have to really pay attention is doesn't matter whose calculations are being used. If the governor's office and IDPH say that, you know, you're at X percent, that's where you are. But the latest number I saw, and I might be wrong, I thought it was 6.9.
Okay, well, we'll check on that and get that clarified. Still, though, the largest age groups to have tested positive are the 20 to 29-year-olds, followed by 30 to 39, followed by 40 to 49. And the elderly, by and large, I know people are still getting sick and dying, but they seem to have kind of curbed their numbers. I mean, those numbers are not rising at as nearly as rapid a rate as the younger people.
Well, I have a lot of friends that are older who have really taken this seriously since the beginning, and they have stayed home. They have gone out when they have to go out, but they have not really spent much time inside restaurants. A lot of carry out, a lot of even, you know, the convenience of picking up your groceries where they might not have done online shopping before, have figured that out and realize it's probably the safest thing for them. And I'm one who still likes to go and pick out my produce. So I can do some online, and I have before, but I still really want to be in a store, and I'm getting very excited about being at Kroger anymore. It's my new, outing.
No, listen, that was Lindsay's outing for like the first couple of months. That was like once a week, right? That was your chance to sort of get out, and everyone's wearing a mask. People at Kroger are doing fantastic. They're going to host our food drive a week from Friday, all cash this year. We're going to do whatever we can do to help out the food pantries because that need is still going to be there. And in fact, that ripple effect, as you're seeing, even with your own budget, with the city, that's happening across kitchen tables across this country.
Yeah, it sure is. And we're really going to have to be diligent about raising money for this food drive. And I know there's kind of the fun, if you're doing it at work, of bringing in a case of tomato sauce or tomato paste or something and adding it and watching the mountain grow. But really, to do this safely, we've got to really inspire people to, write that check and get on board with the whole cash idea this year in particular, because it may not be as fun as hauling a bunch of stuff from your car into work, but we've really got to remember what this is all about.
Really, and it's more effective too, Julie, because of our partnership with the Central Illinois Food Bank. People can literally buy the food banks themselves. The pantries can buy at 19 cents a pound. If you bring in $5, do the math. I mean, it's more effective than a bag of sugar, which no one's going to use anyway.
Absolutely. And what we really want to do is make sure that those food pantries are full this year, because, I think we all got a taste of what it's like to go without when we started seeing our own grocery stores. Those of us who could afford to go into a grocery store and you see that there's no food, it's scary. So I can't imagine, what it's like for those families that have to look at the fact that they don't have any food in their homes and they don't have the money to buy it. That's really scary.
We hosted those two food distribution days at the Decatur Civic Center, and we fed 1,000 families in less than 2 hours total. That's both days. So the need is out there as we continue to see the ripple effects of the economy. When landlords are able to sort of evict, I know all of that's still sort of up in the air, but sometimes I think the results of this are going to take months, not weeks, to where we really see some people in desperate times.
Well, Debbie Bogle was warning us about this in the beginning because, people were all in to help in the very, very beginning. And, she kept saying we were going to see the real crisis late in the summer, early in the fall. And, she's right, because we are really starting to see people struggling that maybe they could get by for a few months. But now we're in, Brian, it's been 6 months. It's been 6 months. And a lot of people lost their jobs, or, maybe one family member did, and having to really cut back and assess how to get by. Because for most people, if you lose a paycheck, it's a big deal. You lose one paycheck if you miss one paycheck. So, the folks that had to struggle through who may not have an answer yet.
All right. What are the challenges facing the city council over the next number of weeks? Besides the obvious and what we're doing here with COVID, but clearly you guys have a deficit in your meeting you're talking. I know you got two of the three council members that are going to be running for re-election, hoping to keep some continuity there. What do you see over the next number of months for the council?
We've got a lot going on. We're going to get through this year's budget, which ends, December 31st. We'll be okay. But I'm really concerned about next year's finances, because it's going to take a while to rebuild the kind of tax base that we're used to. We've got the challenge of we don't know what's going to happen with the state. And if the governor's fair tax proposal doesn't pass, where does that leave where does that leave us? Because he based a lot of his budget and the things that he's promised on this money. And if the money's not there, and the other money isn't there either, because they doubled the gas tax, but nobody's driving. So that money isn't coming in. And there are all these projects out there that are supposed to get funded. And so then where does that money come from? So are we looking at a different kind of massive tax hike if that doesn't pass? I don't know. I don't know where that goes. We do have an election coming up. My understanding is we've got a lot of people taking out petitions. And we don't really know, because you can download them now. And so we'll see what happens. But Chuck Kuehl is up. Pat McDaniel is not going to seek another term. And David Horn is up. So there's at least one open seat on the council. So we'll see where that goes.
All right, Mayor. We appreciate it. Thank you. And we'll talk to you. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you first thing tomorrow morning.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.